over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Does your heart feel like that this morning? Oh, peace, peace, it's wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, sing it to him once more as Brother Terrence comes. Oh, peace, peace, this is wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit, phantomless love.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. How are we doing this morning, everybody? Everybody online? Thank the Lord. People, we're back. Some of us anyway. So just remember that. Going through the list of ones that was already up here, but we have some prayer requests this morning. Sister Trudy gave me one that says her cousin Sienna has a rare pregnancy condition. She's like upchucks, throws up about 20 times a day, which is some rare disease that maybe 3 out of 1,000 or 10,000 or 1,000,000 people have. So she can't work. She's bedridden and she's due November the 3rd. So let's keep her on your heart. Pray for her all the time. We're going to keep it up here until after the baby's born. So just remember that situation. Let's see. Brother Rhino gave me one, says, please pray that all goes well on his flight review this week so he can start flying airplanes again. He hadn't flown in several years, and he would like to take the girls up. I don't know if they want to go up with him, but anyway, just take one at a time, okay, brother? But yeah, just remember that as we pray. Also, Brother Boyd's family's sick. Remember Brother Howell, he's sick, and I think Sister Janet's sick this morning. They're watching in, so remember that. Sister Milka and them was coming here, and they hydroplaned, had a little small accident, hit the side guardrail. She's thanking the Lord for taking care of her. So just remember them. They're back home watching in, too, so remember that. Sister Angie Brown has traveling mercy. She's doing some traveling, so remember that. Also, Sister Mary Brewer sent us one. Her little girl, Scarlett, is tummy's upset this morning. She's throwing up and being sick, so remember that. And also, Rebecca Atkins is sick this morning. Still remember the ones that we're praying for, Esther and Tony and Cleta and all the other ones. I don't have to name them. The good Lord knows who they are. So just remember that. Glad to have Brother Gary and them back with us, and the ones that been sick and ones that took care of Brother Bob's family that was sick. So just thank the Lord for all those blessings that we get on a regular basis. So just remember that. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling that we've mentioned here, Lord, for travel of mercy, Lord. Come down and bless them. Keep them safe on the highways. Remember the church here, Lord. We have many sick, many that was mentioned today. And thank you for taking care of Sister Milka. Lord, be with them. Be with Brother Hal Thomas and all the family there, Lord. Still bless them. And the ones that's been sick here, Lord, with COVID. Remember Wade and Esther and Tony and, Lord, Sister Cleta, and I meant many other ones, Lord, that's been sick. Just come down and be with them and strengthen them and bless their bodies, Lord, and just be with our services here today. Forgive us for all of our sins, and we love you for you. Many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Oh, God is so good. Yes, God is so good. God is so good. is so good to me, and I love him so much. Oh, I love him so. Oh, I love him so. He's so good to. Oh, does he answer your prayers? Oh, he answers prayers. Yes, he answers prayers. Oh, he answers our prayers. He's so good to. Oh, just tell him how good he is to you. Oh, God is so good. Yes, God is so good. Oh, my God is so good. He's so good to. Just tell him how much you love him now this morning. Oh, I love him so much. Oh, I love him so much. Yes, I love him so. He's so good to me. Hallelujah. Brother Bob, would you come this morning and take up our tithes and offering? Good to me. Let's sing that chorus, Make Me More Like Thee. And let's all stand as we sing this, as Brother Donnie gets ready to come with the responsive reading, Make Me More Like Thee. Make me more like Thee, Jesus, make me more like Thee, and give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more loud. That should be the desire of everyone's heart this morning. Oh, make me more like Thee, Jesus, make me more like Thee, and give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like Thee. Sing it to him once more. Oh, make me more like Thee, Jesus, make me more like Thee, and give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like Thee.
Amen. Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. For those watching at home, miss you, but there with us. Just pray with us. We're going to read this morning Psalms 110, 1 through 7. Before we go to the word, we'd talk to the author. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to come together around your word one more time, Lord. Father God, we ask you to send Holy Spirit down and be with us and bless us. Father, in this time of trials, tribulation on this road of life that we've been on, because it wasn't perfect to start off with as we got here, Lord, but it was in the beginning. But Father, you made a way for us, and thank you, God, for Calvary. We love you, Father. We ask you, Lord, for this little congregation to send down your wisdom and be with us now, Lord. Because as tribulation comes, it's a good thing, Father, because we lean more to your word, count on your word, and we got to become your word, Lord. You just have your way with us now, Father God, as we read your word. Bless all of those who couldn't make it through the door today. Whatever their hindrances, Lord, you just bless them and be with them. Thank you for letting us be here again today, Lord. Bless Brother Wade as he's bringing the services today and be with him and strengthen him, Lord God, and lead and guide him. And you just be the voice piece of him there, Lord. We ask these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalms 110, 1 through 7. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Amen. The Lord at the right hand shall strike through kings in the days of his wrath.
He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall win the heads over many countries.
He shall drink of the brook of the way. Therefore shall he lift up his head. Amen. You may be seated.
And if you have your spiral songbook, let's turn to page 45. So wonderful to lean on those everlasting arms we have. Amen. Oh, what a fellowship. Oh, what joy divine. Such a blessedness to know that he's there with us each step of the way. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Lean in on the everlasting arms. Oh, what a blessedness and what a peace is mine. Lean in on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Oh, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. So I'm leaning, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting. Let's all stand.
fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. So I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting. Let's sing that next verse. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, yes, I'm leaning, leaning. Let's sing this last verse as our brother comes this morning. Oh, what have I to dread? What have, oh, there's nothing to fear. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure. All alarms. Oh, I'm leaning on Jesus, leaning on.
Happy birthday to
Taryn. And on the everlasting arms. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
All right, good to be in the house of the Lord. How's that? Sound better? Okay. There's more seats up front if anybody needs any. Looks like we've tilted the building backwards. All right, while we're standing and while we're here today, we have someone that has a birthday today. So we're going to sing happy birthday to Brother Terrence. Everybody knows today's his birthday, so we're going to sing happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you.
Oh, happy birthday
to you. And the best year you've ever had. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had.
He's getting close to that 50, 60 years old. He's 58 today. Seven. 57 today. Man. 75. Yeah, 75. That's right. I'm sorry. According to him, that's what he says. Turn it around. So thank you, Sister Joyce, for remembering that. Being you're about close to that age now anyway, so. Anyway, good to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, Brother Danny. Let's, by way of announcements, let's remember Brother Luis. He's in Tennessee preaching for Brother Tim Calhoun this morning. He'll be back this afternoon. And then today after the second service, we're going to just stay up here, and then we'll meet about next weekend what we're going to do food-wise, because Brother Andrew Glover will be here, and it'll be our youth service. And we'll have it Saturday starting at 3:00. So, and we'll have the same format that we had last time. We're going to also make sure that we all wear a mask inside the sanctuary during that time. So we're going to need to announce that. If you have some people that are coming, tell them that we'll be wearing our mask inside the sanctuary just like we are now. All right. And also, let's see, Wednesday, Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday, and I think that's all the announcements I have. Good to be here. Good to have Brother Russ Dunker with us from Minnesota. And good to have him with us today. He's been down fellowshipping some. Always good to have him here. So if you turn to Hebrews 9, we'll get started. Kind of background a little bit from Wednesday. And then try to finish up this afternoon on the future home. We're not going to say much about the future home because eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard all the beautiful things about that future home that the only way we're going to know about it is we're going to be there. Just don't miss it. If you don't miss it, you'll be there. But the prophet of God said that he built it by your desire. So whatever desire you have, that's the way he built it. And he built it for you. Now we're going to talk about the millennium where we build and inhabit. Not us, the bride, but where the 144,000 and the different ones in the millennium, they build houses and they will inhabit it. But you and I won't have to. We don't need a house. All right. So Hebrews 9:11. Just remember the sick ones. Good to have Brother Gary back and Sister Julie and all the different ones, gathering them back together, getting over this old COVID business, and we still hearing reports of people passing on around the message. And Brother Russ and I were talking about it yesterday. We're not immune from it, but we still got a God that answers prayer. We still got a God that'll answer prayer. Amen. And the prophet of God and the Bible tells us these light afflictions that we have to go through are for our perfection if you're the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's go to Hebrews 9. Let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now that you sanctify us for this journey that we're on, Lord. Pray that you touch us in spirit, Lord. Give us revelation. You be the one that does the speaking, Father. Also touch the ones, Lord, that are sick in body, that you'll raise them up for your honor and glory, Father. We know you are the healer. You even heal people that don't even ask to be healed. All over the world, there's people being healed right now that doesn't even know you as their Savior, Father. What a good God that we have, Lord. So what much more if a child of God gets on their knees and cries out to the Father and says, Daddy, I need help. And we need help as the bride, Lord, to get ourselves ready to get out of here, Lord. We pray that you'd be with each one that's not here, Lord. Be with the ones that are traveling, the ones that are on vacation in different places. We pray that you'd give them traveling mercies and be with each one, Father, as we participate in this service. May you come down, Lord, and be the active participant. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. All right, so let's finish this. Should be finishing today, and then we'll start on something else, Lord willing, a little bit later on. But I've enjoyed this eternal redemption. It's brought out a lot of things to me that we think sometimes we know the overlying plan of redemption. We know that we were lost and now we're redeemed. But then you've got all these little things, these little blessings is what I call them. They're blessings that we get along the way. And the real blessing is over there at the end in the future home. That's our real blessing. And then that we can have a body change on the earth and then go to that place is just supernatural. That's never happened before like that, where a sinner-born person takes a body change, all right, like we're going to. So let's read Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let's go to Isaiah 65. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Let's read one more, Matthew 25:31. And we may pick this up some on the Son of Man later on, but watch this. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Now what is the Son of Man in his glory? That's me and you. That's me and you. The glory of the Son of Man is me and you. All right. Because we become the Son of Man and then we continue on as God in human flesh called a bride. And all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now this is This is at the white throne judgment. Everybody got that? Because watch, it says, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, it doesn't mean they are sheep, but he's dividing them as sheep and goats, as the great shepherd would stand, and the goats go over here, and the sheep go over here. All right, you may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. But it all begins with this. In Matthew 16, verse 15, he said, and he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, knowing that the gates of hell has always been against the true church of God. And as we were talking Wednesday night, you got to remember that thank God that a prophet came and told us that we can read in the Bible and we see a group of people and the world wants to call them church. God calls them bride, because there's now a separation between church and bride. The wife has made herself ready, not the church. The church is the church nominal. That's the church out there. That's the foolish virgin. That's the cup of water in my name. That's even the ones that's not going to make it. Amen? That's the church. Now, we know that Brother Branham talks about us being the church of the living God. But now as we come to the end time, though, I want to hone that down to where we're the bride. We're his wife. We have been married to him. And we are going to make ourselves ready to go to another dimension. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. I will build my church. So now, when we interpret that, that's not going to, I will build a church. Because there's many churches out there. No, God said, I will build my church. So my church is the bride. It's not anything else. My church is the bride. All right, so now, and then what happened to that bride that went through seven church ages? They had seven messengers. They had seven messages. They had a group of people that come under their messenger, that they lived it the best they could, and they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They died, some of them under martyrdom. Some of them died from just natural causes. But now we've come up to this last church age, and if you're born again today, you've been called out of that church age. You're not in that church. Nominal. And then after we see that, and then after we come to a position, and we've already talked about this, that's why I'm trying to get through it a little bit. But you gotta put in there, and I like Brother Russ was talking about something yesterday. I hadn't really seen it this way, so I'll bring it out. I'll just use it, buddy. If it's copyrighted, just start sending me a bell. But we were talking about, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us to have the faith of Enoch. Now, Enoch was translated. That he didn't see death. Enoch was the type of the bride, right? But now, why does the Bible tell us we must have the faith of Abraham? It didn't say have the faith of Enoch. It says we must have the faith of Abraham. We are part of that Abraham covenant. Why? Abraham took a body change on this earth and produced the promised child. That's why we should have the faith of Abraham. The Bible doesn't say, like I said, it doesn't have the faith of Enoch. We must have the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham was that he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he took a body change from that old vile 99-year-old body that he had, changed back to a young man. Well, that's the faith that you and I got to have, is for a resurrection, a body change, and a rapture, and it's got to be in that order. A resurrection, voice of the resurrection, the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be changed. And then we'll be caught up, as here in Revelation 4:1 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now he's fixing to show John after the church ages. He's fixing to show John prophetic, prophetic happenings from now until the future home comes there in Revelations 20-something, 22. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So we took a rapture. We went up, come up hither, and then we know that after we leave this place, Matthew 24, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. The great tribulation, listen, you and I go through tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience, right? But we will not go through the great tribulation. The great tribulation is the wrath of God poured out upon a sinful earth. There's nobody here that's got the Holy Ghost once the 144,000 leave. There's nobody on earth with the Holy Ghost. So God just, there's no reason for him to hold back his wrath, because everybody, all the players that were put into this eternal plan of redemption has been plugged in and taken out. All right? Because remember, the sinners are not considered in redemption. You know what the prophet of God said? We're the only ones considered in redemption. And then connected to us is the foolish virgin, and connected to the 144,000, and then the cup of water in my name. And then after that, there's no connection. Amen. They have decided to go the way of the goat, and there's nothing we can do about it. But see, that's all that's going to be here when this great tribulation happens. And he says, even except these days should be shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And thank God we always complain about, the years getting shorter. But you know what? I don't want the years to get longer. I want the years to get shorter. It gives us one more day to get out of here. All right? So now let's go to Revelations 2, verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the religious world. He's talking about the church, which calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. My servants, see how close it is, and eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I give her space to repent, 2,000 years, of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. If you'll read in the Bible, where we're looking at the great tribulation, and we see that even when Russia puts the bomb down the middle of the Vatican and all that, that if you read your Bible, the Bible says merchants of the earth and the great men and the politicians, or whatever you want to call them, they're standing in awe, and they're standing away from the city, because they don't have anything to do with it now. But they're wondering, what is this great thing? Well, they've all been deceived by it. And at that time, it's been years they've been deceived by it. But they lean to their economy and their money rather than leaning to God. Amen. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that committeth adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And most will not. So Revelation 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Now, who is this? This is the people of the earth. They're in love with this guy. And they think so much of him. They think he's the man of the hour. He's the Christ of the hour. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 1260 days. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given unto him over kindred, tongues, and nations. Now here, and all that dwell upon the earth, all. Every person that dwells on the earth, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's the bride. That's the eternal section of that Lamb's Book of Life. Not the section that Judas was in and was taken out of. Or then, it's same way with people. Judas wasn't the only one that got his name put on the book and then took out. No, there's millions and probably billions that was put on the book as a religious order, and they're going to be taken off just like Judas was, because they didn't go get the Holy Ghost. Only the people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost has those names written in that Lamb's Book of Life, the eternal section. Amen? The eternal section, not just a section of the book, the eternal section. That's the Genesis 1:26 man. That's the one that everybody talks about, the seed, and the seed, the doctor, the seed doctrine, the seed. That Genesis 1:26, that's your seed. But it was withholding that you come here with it because you can't have to come here a sinner. To be redeemed. To be redeemable. Listen, there's some people that's not redeemable. Adolf Hitler. But he decided that. God didn't. He decided to not be redeemable. That's your free moral agency. Amen? So now let's go to Revelation 11:3. And I will give power to my two witnesses. Now here we've already took a rapture. We've gone in a rapture. We're going to the wedding supper. We're in another dimension. Doesn't matter what we're going to be doing. But what's going to happen on the earth is continue. Because listen, once we come to a body change, and once all the dead saints come out of the ground and they take a body change, they've completed their redemption. Okay? We've completed. The bride will complete their redemption when we take a rapture off of this earth. We've completed our redemption. We're just going to be here on a honeymoon, or we're going to be in a wedding supper in a honeymoon, and then we're going to stand in judgment, not in judgment, but not to be judged, but to stand in judgment to judge. And then we're going to a future home. That's our house. And there's no other position. I mean, I don't know where. There's some place that we're going to get crowns and all the things that the Bible tells us about, but I really don't know where that position is at. And it really doesn't matter. Just make sure you get there. I don't mind if he gives me one crown. Just look at me and say, you done a good job. You kept the faith. You fought the fight. And now here is a crown of life. What? Eternal life. But listen, see, we receive that eternal life crown here. We receive our white robes here. You see what God's done for his children. He's made it. We think this is so hard, but he's made it easy. Life is hard. Life is hard. But being a Christian shouldn't be that hard in the soul part of you. Whether you're hurting and whether you're laying in a bed of affliction, that's not your soul. Your soul, if it's born again, is already in the future home. It's a part of the future home. There's no way it can be pulled out. There's no way it can be judged as far as eternal versus not eternal. It's done. It's finished. As we were talking about Wednesday night. But you gotta remember that old husband's gotta be D-E-A-D. Not D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Dead. And if it is dead, it'll never resurrect again. Did I misspell that? I didn't. Okay. Anna's looking at me laughing. D-I-V-O-R-S. Oh, don't be singing the song. Come on, people. Good grief. So now we'll talk about Tammy Wynette and George Jones for the rest of the service, because that's the rest of y'all going to be singing it in your head. Or whoever that was that sang that song. Geez. So anyway, so it's not... That's the problem. That is the problem, is the divorce part. Because listen, if that old husband's dead, he can't be resurrected. You can't have the old, Luke something, that the unclean spirit goes out. Well, see, that unclean spirit goes out, but now if it comes back, it's still alive. But you gotta kill that thing. Or it will reside back. That's why it divorced. But it's still alive. And it came back and found the house swept and garnished. Okay? And then he re-entered that house. Well, now the Bible says the good man of the house kills that thing. In another scripture, the good man of the house. So you take, if he's the strong man, or the strong man of the house, if he kills that spirit, it won't come back anymore. Now listen, the devil's too smart for that. He'll try to get you in another angle or another way. Or as we were talking a couple of days ago, you know, like Dad said, he never drank beer in his life. But boy, once you get saved and born again, somebody pops open a beer and you're going, that looks so good. Why? The devil has lost his hold on you going and participating in that again. But he knows there's a spirit realm of you that still remembers what you did. And he absolutely reminds you, listen, God doesn't remind you of your past. Because he doesn't know it's there. Because it's D-E-A-D. When it's put in the seal of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again, there's that death that we're talking about, that we put it in that watery grave and we leave it there. We don't pull it back out. That's our problem. Sometimes we drag things back out under the blood. Don't do that. Because see, you'll have a problem. And the devil knows it just as soon as you do it. Because he'll start pounding on you and pounding on you, but that's his job. But now we've already taken a rapture. So we're gone up in the wedding supper and we're in another dimension. But God is not finished with the eternal plan of redemption, because the connection that we have with the 144,000 is they're going to get the same message we got. They're only going to get it though through two witnesses. Where we got it through a Gentile prophet, they're going to get it through Moses and Elijah, being Jews over there, that they will be able to what? They'll be able to understand them. Right. All right? And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And then they're going to preach to them, go to Daniel 9:24. And we go back to the 70 weeks of Daniel. Boy, I've really been wanting to get back into 70 weeks of Daniel, so we may do that later on if the Lord tarries. But 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do six things. What's the first three? Finish the transgression. Who did the transgressing? Israel. Or you. All right? Who did the sinning? You did. Israel did. And who's going to reconcile us for the iniquity that we had? It's going to be God. So listen, we get saved the same way they did, as we've been talking before. You're never going to get away from justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the three stages or steps of grace, and even the 144,000 that they're going to be preached to by two witnesses. And they're going to realize that what they did. They killed the Messiah. Well, they literally killed him. Their lineage. We didn't literally kill him, but we did put him on the cross. Amen? I mean, we weren't there. But when they said, let his blood be on us and our children, it carried through the 2,000 years that God was dealing with the Gentiles. They had that curse on them. They had a transgression. They had a sin. They had an iniquity that God was going to purge, as we'll maybe read it a little bit later, well, here in Jeremiah. They talk about Jacob's trouble. Not ours, Jacob's trouble. All right, so let's read that in Jeremiah 30. Now, we know the other three. We didn't read the last three. Bring in everlasting righteousness, sealeth the vision, prophecy, and anoint the most holy. We know that's going on into the millennium. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, as even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. Look at all the promises that God, he condemns. I've been reading in Amos and all the little prophets. Man, they just cut Israel to the core. They call them whores and prostitutes. And I think it was Amos or one of them, God told them to go marry a prostitute to show Israel that they married that they were prostitutes and have children by them. And God condemns them. And then all of a sudden he says, but I'm going to save you. I can't forget you. I'm going to save you. Even in the 70 weeks of Daniel. Well, if it wasn't for the 70 weeks of Daniel, Israel couldn't be saved. But even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Strangers. Russians. Germans. Americans, wherever they've been dispersed, the Jew has been persecuted. Everywhere. I mean, they kicked them out right and left. It was just that they got them down in one place where Hitler could deal with them during the Holocaust. But that was God, though, bringing his children back, his children that he worked with the first time. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, who I will raise up unto them. Now we're heading toward the millennium. Therefore fear thou not, O servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. Russia, Germany, United States, Italy, wherever they're dispersed, I'm going to save you from that. But now remember, Daniel 70 weeks is talking about the people and what? The city. They got to get back to the city. They got to get back into their homeland. And thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Now remember, they weren't unpunished. My Lord, look at Israel. They've been persecuted since the time that they said, let his blood be on us and our children. They've been killed and slaughtered. 6.5 million of them, just because they were Jews, were killed. Not because they did anything. They were just Jews. And they were killed because Satan hated them so bad through Hitler and all Stalin and all those. So let's go to Revelation 6, verse 12. And we get to the sixth seal like we were talking about Wednesday night. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Wow. And see here, the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman and every freeman. Brother Russ and I were talking about, you know, we're looking for a total collapse of the economy. And it will happen. There'll be a crash, for us at least, in the United States. But somehow it gets all put back together under something called the Catholic Church or Rome. Some way they get, look, it says the rich men. It's not that everybody's destitute. Now, we don't care because we're gone. But the world's going to have to build an economy back up to have all these things. The kings, great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bondman and every free man. That's us, the ones that don't have no money. Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb. Now we're heading toward the battle of Armageddon here. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So now let's read Revelation 7, 1. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. What are winds? Wars. That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was given to hurt the earth and sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants. Now listen, you and I are not servants. Okay, we're bride. So that's not us. But it is a group of people that's going to be saved. Till we have sealed, what is the seal? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. All right? Up here. They're intelligent. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. In other words, 12,000 from 12 tribes. Okay? 144,000. Everybody got that? I'm sure that's pretty simple. But just make sure that we realize this is not the bride. This is servants. We're already gone. That's why you have to realize that when Brother Branham said from Revelations 4:1 to 19:21 has nothing to do with Gentiles. Because we're not on the earth at that time. Remember Revelations 4:1, we go up. We're not here. We don't come back till we read it in a minute to Revelations 19:21, come back riding into the millennium. But now in between that, we must get the spiritual part of that because it's part of the eternal plan of redemption. Amen? So it is part of your redemption, the seals, the vials, the plagues. You and I will not see this with our physical eyes. I hope not. But we get the spiritual aspect of all these. Seals, vials, plagues. And that's what we talked about Wednesday night on that sixth seal. Let's read Daniel 9:27. We'll talk about that just for a minute. And he shall confirm the covenant. Who's that he? The Antichrist. That's the one that's going to what? He's going to confirm the covenant with Israel, not the world. He's going to have a covenant with Israel for 1 week because we're still on Daniel 9. Who is it? Daniel's people and the city. All right. So it's not talking to Gentiles. It's talking to Daniel's people. And in the midst of the week, in other words, after 3.5 years, that's the midst of the 7 years that are left after the rapture of the church, according to the Bible and according to the prophet's message, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Whatever he made that covenant with, whatever it is, he's going to break it and say, we're not going to do that anymore. All right? And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. Now, what is the consummation? That's the millennium. Because the consummation to the Jews is entering into that jubilee of the millennium. Right. See, this is not to us. Remember, this is not to the bride. We're gone. But there are going to be a literal overspreading of abomination. He shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. In other words, there's going to be a war. There's going to be two prophets that's going to cause this world to just turn upside down because of the sixth seal. I read it there where he opened the sixth seal, and the prophet of God, thank God for a prophet that told us who opened that sixth seal. That sixth seal is opened by those two prophets. It is man, or not man, but God through man holding all nature just like Adam did before the fall. But I believe it's going to happen to me and you before that time comes. Because there's got to be a type. We've got to see the type that they're going to do it literally on the earth. But God's going to have to, as we were talking Wednesday night, that we're going to have a sixth seal sanctification like never before. That statue of a perfect man is going to have to burn out all the mountains, burn out all the valleys. He's going to have to take all whatever this is right here. It says, I beheld when he opened the sixth seal and there was a great earthquake. I'm telling you, folks, if you hadn't been shook these past 2 years, if you hadn't been shook in your right to down to your own physical being in these last 2 years, you got a problem. But you know what God's doing? I was thinking yesterday. He said there was ease in Zion. Had need of nothing. Revelations 3. I mean, look at us. We're driving cars that cost more than our first house cost. We got jobs that make good money. If this is tribulation, it's not so bad. But God's going to make it to where we don't like this place anymore. We've come to a point to where God said, I've had enough. This is too easy. You're not praying enough. You're not seeking God enough. Because what's going to happen to those two witnesses? They're going to call down anything they, Brother Brown said, whatever comes out of their mouth, that's what's going to happen. Now I believe that you and I are going to see that in part here as the Gentile church age ends, or Gentile age ends. You're going to see it with the two witnesses, but you're going to see it before that in me and you, because listen, to come to adoption has got to come to what? Full authority. So what's the two witnesses going to have? Full authority over nature. So now God is going to have full authority over your nature. That's our problem. There's too much of us still alive. Amen? So that sixth seal sanctification has got to come to me and you. And remember, what is it? It's what proceeds out of those two witnesses' mouth. It's a sharp sword. It's a flame of fire. It's the Word. Amen? So you and I have to come to Word maturity first. And come into Word maturity, because if you don't, then as we were talking yesterday, power without character is satanic. So if you got the power, but you don't have the character, you might destroy somebody you just really don't like. And that's not for you to do. Amen? Same thing with this sixth seal. Because what happens after the sixth seal opens? The two witnesses are killed, right? But there's a rapture takes place after the sixth seal opens. The seventh seal produces itself, which is Christ. Brings Christ to the earth to fight for Israel, but it brings Christ to the earth for me and you to take a rapture with. Amen. So we're looking at that sixth seal sanctification before the dead can come out of the ground. That's what we're looking at. We're under that sixth seal sanctification to where we're looking at something that will happen that's never happened before, that you're going to call all the dead saints out of the ground. But it's going to have to come by the word proceeding out of somebody's mouth that comes to maturity. See, because the two witnesses and the 144,000, they don't have to come to that maturity. They're promised the Holy Ghost. They're promised that they, and then they're going to have to die. And then they're going to take a rapture. They're going to, you know, resurrect and then take a rapture in just a few days. But we're looking at, there's no telling how many thousands of bride that's laying in the earth that's going to come up in that day. And they're going to be here as Brother Russ was talking about yesterday. You know, that's going to happen. And we're not even going to have a glorified body. Think about it. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed. But remember, there was somebody who did it before we did. The Lord Jesus walked up to the tomb of Lazarus in a human, corrupt body. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. He wasn't in a glorified body when he called Lazarus up out of the ground. He was just a human being, man. Now, I say just, but the Almighty God was inside of him. Well, listen, that same Almighty God, if it's inside of you, you got the new birth. It's the same identical thing. That's what I'm trying to tell everybody. We're thinking we're something separate from that. But Brother Branham said the resurrection lies inside of you. Well, where was it in Jesus? It was inside of him. He didn't have to go find it or go get it or shout it up or pump it up. That's the only time he ever raised his voice, I believe. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Because the Bible said he cried with a loud voice. That and when he died. There ain't no need to be screaming at the devil. Screaming at the devil ain't going to bother him one bit. But I'll guarantee you, if you go get those virtues sealed in you and the headstone comes, that's what he can't fight. He can't fight that because he can't come to it. So he's not going to fight it. He can't fight it. All right, so let's look at this Revelations 11, verse 7 through 12. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So they're going to kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So that would be Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts one to another. I was reading a quote where Brother Brown said the only, that there was one country that started that. And that was Rome. When they'd have a battle and they'd come back from the battle, they'd be given gifts. And I think some of them even talked about the little thing you see, the little reeds on around the headbands of some of those Romans. They were given those as gifts because they came back and won a battle or they won something. They were always given gifts. So that's Brother Brown said, that's what's going to happen is the gift giving is going to be from Rome because you know what? They're going to persecute. If Rome controls the world, that's who they're persecuting. The two witnesses. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Same as Revelation 4:1, come up hither. So they're going to take a rapture. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So let's look at the chart for a minute. If you would, pull that chart up, brother. Brother Anderson, not the Daniel 70 weeks one, but the one for the eternal plan of redemption. So now, where are we at? Make that a little bigger right over there. Bring it this way. Come on over a little bit more. There you go. All right, so all born-again believers are going into rapture. Revelation 4:1. Two prophets are going to prophesy 3.5 years. Tribulation period, Revelation 11, the two prophets. And then what? It's going to be a rapture for the Jews. So that takes everybody off the earth that has anything to do with the Holy Ghost. Everybody got that? There won't be a Holy Ghost in anybody in this group that's left. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen is you're going to see the Battle of Armageddon. You're going to see the termination of forces, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But let's go to Revelation 19, verse 6, because this is going to help me and you. I want to bring something in here. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You remember Brother Branham talking about the armor meatpacking girl, or the armor meatpacking guy, and then the sisters or the girls. Well, it's real strange. I was talking to Brother Claude the other day, and he said, you know, he said, Brother Branham, he tells that story all through his ministry till he gets to the sixth seal. And on the sixth seal, he tells the same story, and he never tells it again. What is your sixth seal sanctification? The bride has made herself ready. And the armor meatpacking girl, I don't know, you know, most of you know the story, but there was armor hot dogs. Everybody knows it's armor meatpacking. They were a meat company in Chicago, and they went out west, and they were going to have a little shindig out there, and they were going to have a party, and they were going to dance, but the son of the meatpacking company went out there to find him a wife. So what happened was, is all the other girls got theirself and put on their paint and their, you understand what I'm saying? But there was one girl that was off in the corner that was doing what? She was doing work. Brother Brown said she had on an old tattered dress. Said her hair probably wasn't even fixed up. It was just tied up in a bun. And she washed the dishes. She didn't participate in any of those, as Brother Brown said, those denominational ideas. She kept herself separate. And in keeping herself separate, one day the armor meatpacking boy walked outside to get away from all that was going on inside. As Brother Brown said, all them denominational ideas he was getting away from, trying to get away from those denominational ideas. What? Those women that was fixing theirself up. And you know what? They were trying to make theirself ready. Listen, there's not a nominal Christian in this world that doesn't think Jesus Christ is coming. And there's not a nominal Christian in the world that's not trying to get ready. But they don't know how. They don't know how to get ready. But that little girl, she was so special. And he walked outside just to get some fresh air, the prophet said, and he said he looked down there and he looked close to the wash bin and said, there she was. He said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that character of somebody working. And then what happened was, to make the story short so we can continue on, the Armour meatpacking guy fell in love with this girl. And he said, in 1 year, I'll be back to pick you up. Now, the problem with me and you is, if the Armour meatpacking boy would have told us that, we would have just said, man, we got it made. No, this girl, the prophet continues with the story. He said, I don't know, she may have made 75 cents a week or 75 cents a day. He said, she saved up and bought her wedding dress. She saved up and bought her bouquet. She made herself ready. She went up the statue of a perfect man. She didn't sit that 1 year and just say, well, we're the bride. In 1 year from today, he'll be back. No, the Bible says the bride, his wife, has made herself ready. And the prophet of God said, oh, within that 1 year, said she got herself ready and she bought the dress. She bought the flowers and said on that day she stood on the porch and said her little denominational sisters were just laughing and giggling and saying, oh, he didn't really mean that. He didn't really mean that he was coming back. She said, he said he'll be here. And he said for me to be ready. He said, now, she said, now I've done my part. It's his time to do his part. And you know the story, 5 minutes before the time to come up of the hour, here come the buckboard. Here come the Armour meatpacking boy. And she ran and jumped in his arms. And he said, I'm going to take you home. You ain't got to wash them dishes no more. You ain't got to cry over a dead body anymore. You ain't got to cry over a child that's wayward anymore. You don't have to cry over needing something from God. He said, I'm here. And that's what this is right here. His wife has made herself ready. This girl, I believe she worked more that 1 year to get herself ready than she had worked all the other time. She wanted everything to be right. But knowing he was coming to get her anyway. But in one quote, Brother Branham said, he kept up with her during that year. There's one quote, I believe it's in the sixth seal, where Brother Branham said, oh, he kept up with her. He didn't just leave her and then not, he said, no, he said, he kept up with her that whole year. What? Just to make sure that she was making herself ready. And that's what you and I are doing today, is we're making, it doesn't matter if you listen to one tape or a week or one tape a day, as long as you get what you're listening to, as long as you let it become a part of you, as long as you don't let the devil steal your joy. Because all the other girls were running around, you know, they probably were trying to get ready too, but he left them no instruction. God left us instruction to get ready and be ready at the time that he comes. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife hath made herself ready. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper. Now that's when we leave and go out of here to the marriage supper of the Lamb. For ever how long a period of time until the battle of Armageddon and all that other. Listen, we've left that part. When you take a body change and then you take a rapture, you've left all that in this dimension. That doesn't carry with you all that stuff. The former things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank God that none of that carries with us. See, if you have to stand before judgment, guess what? If you die without God today, that baggage stays with you. All the way until the white throne judgment, that baggage that you wouldn't let go of stays right there with you until the white throne judgment. But if you'll give your heart to God and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll never have to worry about that garbage anymore. Amen? Sure, we're having a hard time in life. Sure, there's things going on that never had happened before. But listen, something's fixing to happen that never has happened before. We're getting out of here. Amen? We're looking at something that Amos talked of, Joel talked of, Nahum, Ezekiel, Isaiah. Because there's always scripture in there that pertains to me and you.
That's right. That's
Moses. Right. They talked about me and you. Oh, sure, they talked about Israel, but I thought we were the type. Isaiah told us about the future home, told us about the millennium, told us about Jesus Christ was going to come. So what are we doing about it? Are we getting ourselves, are we making ourselves more prepared now than we did when he became in love with us and said, I want to be your husband, and you accepted and said, I want to be your wife? Is it more dear now than the year when he's going to come and pick us up? No, I believe she was absolutely, like I said before, she was so meticulous, even right up to the moment. With whatever she had to do, with whatever you do, you, the word that you read, the praying that you do, the testifying, the, all the things that we do, what are we doing with it? Because listen, he is going to come and he's going to pick up somebody. He did get one of them four girls. The other three got left behind. But he did pick one of them up because that one made herself ready. Amen? So what are we doing with it? Revelations, let's read 16, verse 13. All right? And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirit of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now look, I was thinking about this a little bit yesterday. We know what the, what are those unclean spirits like frogs? The Trinitarian doctrine. Where did it come from? Out of the mouth of the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet. For they are the spirit of devils working miracles, look, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Right. To gather them together into a place called Armageddon. Fighting over religious matters. Not just economical matters. Religious matters. The three unclean spirits like frogs. Somebody's going to stand against all this because there's going to be a battle called Armageddon. Then he said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial, which is going to be the last woe. And there comes a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. The battle of Armageddon. Let's read now in Victory Day. Let's read what Brother Brown said about that. We talk about several wars, wars and rumors of wars, V-Days, 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 and it'll finally wind up into the great battle of Armageddon. That'll be the last of it. When she comes to the battle of Armageddon, that'll settle the whole thing. Just before the great millennium, Armageddon is to clean off the earth. So what continues is, what I'm looking at that sixth seal is that those two prophets release the power over nature. And then when they leave, it just continues on into this. Man starts fighting each other. She repurifies herself with atomic blowing. We know this is going to be an atomic battle. Because tonight, or this afternoon, we're going to talk about a spiritual battle. Because look, this will kill human flesh beings. Not spirits. Not devils. Now, we'll read in a little bit where they're bound and can't work because the people on the earth, but it doesn't kill them. They have to be put in a place of holding for 1,000 years because they have no one to work through, but they're still very much alive. But listen, you and I are going to have to see that spot where all those demons are going to be destroyed. All right? So then look at again, the millennium and the future home is, you can intertwine some of the things And then some of the things you can't put together to say, well, it's going to happen in the millennium and it's going to happen in the future home. Because there's things in the millennium that can't carry over, and there's things from the future home that can't back up into the millennium. So thank God for a prophet that told us exactly that if we would build houses, that's in the millennium. The future home was built by God himself for us. So it's two different things. But see, the lamb will be, I mean, the lion will be gentle and the lamb, this one will be tame. It takes both sides. Because when this world's destroyed and we come back to that 1,000-year millennial reign, it's going to be no war. There's a lot of things that we'll read here that the Bible even tells us there won't be. But those demons are still going to be there. They're just not going to be able to work. All right? So let's keep reading. She repurifies herself with this atomic blowing. And the volcanic ash and things sinks this soaked blood of men and upon the earth in sin and crime. She sinks beneath the earth and the volcanic brays out again and renews and cleans the earth for the great millennium. He cleans his church during that time for a people to live here. Amen. I say like that. Yes, sir. There's coming a time when it will be great. All right, let's go to Ezekiel 40. Now, this is, we've seen the Battle of Armageddon. Is everybody okay? We've seen the Battle of Armageddon. That's the termination of all forces. That's when man dies. That's when the flesh of man is destroyed by an atomic explosion all over the world. All right? Everybody got that? Then there's something got to happen to finish the day. And see, this is in the middle of the Daniel 70 weeks. This is in the midst of the week. There'll be a Battle of Armageddon that'll last. The Battle of Armageddon is not a one-day battle. It's going to last a year or more. Because of nuclear fallout, because of all the different things, it's going to probably last maybe a year. But somewhere down the line, there's going to be a group of people come back into this dimension, according to Daniel 70 weeks, the last half of that 70th week, and they're going to build a millennial temple. And it's not going to be built by us, but it will be built by them. So this is Ezekiel 40. Like I say again, thank God for a prophet that could positionally place this, because this is the building of a temple, but we didn't know that it was going to be a millennial temple, and we didn't know we were ones that were going to rule and reign in it. But according to Daniel 70 weeks, that last part, the anointing most holy, is the anointing of us going into the temple. Because listen, the 144,000, if they built it, they're going to be the servants. Not me and you. We're not going to build anything in a honeymoon. Well, that'd be a wonderful thing. Don't ever, if you get married, don't ever tell your wife, say, all right, tomorrow's a honeymoon, we're going to build a house. Won't last long. No, what are you going to do? You're going to lavish her with everything that you got. That's the same way with God. And the vision of God brought me into the land of Israel. So now where are we going back to? We're going to Israel. Because remember, it's to thy people and the city. And the city includes walls and buildings. Right? Right? So the people have been purged from the 144,000. They've been purged. They took a rapture. They're not here in this dimension, but somebody's got to come back into this dimension and build this temple in Jerusalem. And the visions of God brought me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, Mount of Olives, whatever you want to call it, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was likened to brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed. And he stood on the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes and hear with thine ears and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee, for the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of who? Israel. All right. So now from that scripture down to Ezekiel 44, it talks about rooms. It talks about putting a wall here. It talks about putting a court here. That's the building of that temple, and they're going to build it. The prophet of God said they're going to build it in the getting ready for the millennium. they're going to have to build this city to make Daniel 9:24 through 27 come to pass. Because when they build that city and we go into that city, that finishes those 490 years that it takes the Jews for the city and the people to come to full redemption. Everybody got that? That's why Daniel 70 weeks is so important as far as positionally placing things and to get it right when you do positionally place it. Okay? So now let's go to Revelations 19:11 because somebody's got to ride back into this place. All right? After it's being built, why in the world would you spend a year or two building a building and then just leave it empty? Revelations 19:11 says, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Who is this? Jesus Christ, we know that. His eyes were as flame of fire, and his head, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus Christ. All right? And the armies, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations. So what's he coming to do? He's not coming down to smite the nations that are there. He's going to rule the 12 tribes of Israel that is coming into that millennium. Everybody got that? Because remember, the millennium's to the Jews. The Jews are going to be ruled and reigned for 1,000 years by the Son of David sitting on the throne ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. So if you rule the 12 tribes of Israel, there's got to be something there to rule. So this is what it is. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, which that's us, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, and we've been through this 100 times, look at that, all capital letters. Not king of little kings and lord of little lords, no, we have become one with the master. We have become one with the king. King of kings and Lord of lords, because for me and you, buddy, it's finished. All we're waiting for is that future home to come. Listen to this, number two, and then we'll stop right here. It's only, is that clock right? It's only 20 minutes after 11? Good grief. Wow. All right, on the 70th week of Daniel. Now notice, that's where we've seen her coming back to the millennial temple over here at the end of the what? What is the Jewish age? The 70 weeks of Daniel. I don't see why people don't see that. The Jewish age, the Gentile age finished when we left. Then there's a time of the 490 years. 483 is already done. 3.5 years was preached by the two witnesses. There's 3.5 years left after the Battle of Armageddon. Now that's finished. And at the end of the Jewish age, they have been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and built the city. They finished Daniel 9:24 through 27. Over here at the end of the Jewish age, the anointed. Here he comes riding on the white horse. Now he's talking about Revelation 19. We just read it. Those followed him on white horses, powers, dressed in white blood or vesture dipped in blood, wrote on him the word of God. He cometh the mighty conqueror, yes sir, to set up the millennium coming to the temple. There he meets that 144,000. So the 144,000 had to be down here building the city. God's going to be somewhere with us, the bride, because we're going to ride into that from the dimension we're in into this dimension down here. And there he meets the 144,000. And then if you keep going on a little bit further, I didn't bring that quote, but he said the anointing to the temple was me and you. He's anointed. We're anointed because of the kings and kings and Lord of lords. We've come to a position that we're going to rule and reign with him for that 1,000 years. But now remember, we're not going to rule like he's going to rule because he rules the 12 tribes of Israel as the Son of David, sitting on the throne of David, ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. You and I are just there on a honeymoon because you can, if you get a little further, we'll read this afternoon. We'll Let's read the millennium a little bit about it, and then we'll stop. Because that millennium, there's a lot of things that goes on. Let's go to the chart just for a second. And go all the way over to the... right here, millennium. So we got Battle of Armageddon. Everybody's killed. This is the purging of the earth. And all that die, they go into the fifth dimension because there's nowhere else to put these people because they're not bride, they're not foolish virgin. Now, they could be cup of water in my name. I mean, foolish virgin's in there in the cup of water in my name. They're not up here with us. They don't resurrect. Because the Bible tells us that the second death has no hold on me and you. So there is a second death, which means that these people that die all down through here that are not born again, they're going to have to stay in that fifth dimension until the white throne judgment right here. All right? Then they're going to have to be judged. You and I don't have to be judged, but the 144,000, but the foolish virgin and the cup of water in my name, given eternal life for being good to the bride, whatever you want to call it, they're not showing up in this millennium. Everybody got that? Now, the fifth sealed Jew, you can make an argument for that. You can make an argument for the heathen being raised up, which I don't understand that. But listen, just make sure you get there. Because remember, it's not to me and you. It's not going to stop me from taking a body change if I can't tell you who's going to be in the millennium. Okay? It's me getting myself ready here. I got my Revelations 19. They got their self ready. Then they rode into the millennium. And surprise! Okay? But that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a 1,000. Satan is bound. There's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign. So let's read where this comes from. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 says, "Behold, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Genesis 2, verse 17 says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, we got to make this scriptural. 1,000 years of the day, days 1,000 years. Now, they didn't physically die the day they committed adultery. The day Eve committed adultery and the day Adam did what he did, they didn't physically die. They spiritually died. And they started dying on the outside guy. But that very day, because remember, that curse was put on them, and Methuselah got closer than anybody, 969 years, and then Adam was 900 and something years, and this one was 800 and something years. They got close to it. But they couldn't live that 1,000 years because the curse, he cursed the ground. Didn't curse Adam. Cursed the ground. Well, that's where they all started coming from. Adam was spoken into existence. Everybody else started coming out of the ground. Amen? You come out of the ground. Your body come out of the ground. So let's go to Isaiah 65, and then we'll stop right here. Musicians, get ready to come when I get finished reading this, and then we'll start right here tonight, or this afternoon. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem." That's where we're going to be. Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people, a joy. Now, who's the people that dwell in Jerusalem? Jews. So the millennium is to the Jews. It's not to me and you. Okay? "And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people," who's Isaiah, Jew, "and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more than an infant... thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days." Now, I can't get into that because I don't understand that. "For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." See, the prophet of God, that's why he could, somebody asked him, said, "Well, could there be babies born in the millennium?" He said, "Looks like they can, looks like they can't." So if he answered it that way, I'm not going to argue with him. It really doesn't matter to me. And this doesn't either. But it would be good that God would reveal it if somebody knew what that was. But I didn't think anybody was going to die in the millennium. So it says a man to die 100 years old. A sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So maybe we can deal with that later on. And they shall build houses. Now look, and they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Now that's not going to happen in the future home. That's going to happen in the millennium because it's still time. It is a day. It is a time. You have weeks and months and days because somebody's got to live 1,000 years. They shall not build and another inhabit. In other words, die and give it to their kids. They shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. That's not me and you. Now, that's the elect of God for that time, the Jews. But that's not me and you, because we're not going to work. We'll do what we want to, but we're not going to build a house. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. What a promise. They will not destroy or hurt in all my holy mountain. We'll stop right there and then we'll continue on the millennium and then get into the white throne judgment, battle of Gog and Magog, and finish with the future home this afternoon. So let's stand to our feet. I know this has been a long subject, but if you'll just get some pieces of it, it'll help you, I believe, in your walk with the Lord. Because anytime you talk about the plan of redemption, it's got to be you and me, because we're considered in that plan of redemption. Amen. Let's sing a song and worship just a little bit. It's only 11:29. Let's sing a song.
Oh, I am blessed. Oh,
I am blessed. Are you blessed today? Think of all the blessings that you've got.
Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed.
Sing it to him.
Oh, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed.
Have you ever just sat down and thought about the blessings that God has given you during your life? Or the blessings that God has given you during your Christian walk? It doesn't matter how long it is. Do that sometime. It's got to make you happy. It's going to have to make you rejoice that what God took you out of.
Lay my head to rest. I am blessed.
Sing it one more time.
I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. When I lay my head to rest, I am blessed.
Yes, amen.
Oh, I am blessed.
Have you ever done that, really? Have you ever just sat down and just cut everything off one day and go sit somewhere and find you a little spot and just start counting the blessings that God's give you? It'll make you forget about them bad times. If you'll just think about how God's blessed you all the way through your life up to this point right now. Don't worry about the bad parts. the blessings. But now, you know what? God can take that bad part and turn it into a blessing. How many times has he done? You thought you was in a trial that just absolutely, it was the devil. Well, he might have turned the devil loose on you, but it was God standing at the end of that thing going, come on, when you get to right here, you're going to realize I was in control the whole time. The whole time. God was in control the whole time. Boy, sometimes we think that just chaos, but God's in control. He will not forsake his children. You just not got to make sure you're his child. You can't say I'm a child of God and not act like one. If you're a child of God, he's obligated to take care of you. Obligated. I am blessed. Sing it one more time. We'll be dismissed. Oh, I am blessed every day that I live. I am blessed. Yes. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. You're dismissed. Oh, till 2 o'clock.